Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Monday, October 28th, 2019. I hope everyone is feeling reasonably festive, breaking out their old ministry singles. Brian knows what's up. I would like to thank both of my panelists in advance for being here today. Charlotte Henry is with us. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi, hi.
Glad you're here on a lovely Monday. Also with me, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hello. Yes, I knew what you meant. That's one of my favorite songs.
I was expecting a reply of boppy bop bop, which also would have been fine.
That would have been good. It was a different ministry. Still like it.
Ministry. You know, I have a Halloween playlist and that's on it. So, yeah.
To Charlotte, who has no idea what's going on.
Charlotte has no idea what's happening. And that's fine. We will take Charlotte to ministry school after the program. But before that, Brian, you wrote up a piece for us last week about Jim Baker, not that Jim Baker, and how he has seen the light, or as we like to call it around the TMO offices. Brian was right about this all along.
I was right all along, and that's the only takeaway that matters. First of all, we're not talking about that Jim Baker, not George W. Bush's chief of staff, I think, or George. Yeah. Yeah. And then his campaign manager.
You mean Jim Baker? Jim Baker. Never mind. Right. Yeah. Right. You don't mean Jim Baker. You mean Jim Baker. Yeah.
Completely different Jim Baker. He was the general counsel under the FBI. He, under James Comey, from 2012 to 2014, he was the general counsel for the FBI, which happens to mean he was also the general counsel while James Comey was the director of the FBI. Yes. And that would also be when the FBI was taking Apple to court to try to force it to break the encryption on a terrorist device, an iPhone that was used by the terrorist who committed multiple murders in San Bernardino, California.
Yeah, the shootings in San Bernardino. Okay.
Yeah. And this was a situation where the FBI had the phone. The FBI had a lawful warrant. The FBI had the permission of the device's owner in addition to the lawful warrant. The owner happened to be the terrorist's then former employer, rather than the terrorist itself. And so, you know, the FBI had all of its legal ducks in a row. The only problem is they couldn't get into the device because Apple encrypts them.
Yeah.
And it encrypts our iPhones. And the FBI was trying to force Apple to you know, break this encryption. And really what the FBI wanted Apple to do was to create something that became known as FBIOS, where they could sideload it over, or government OS, it depends on who you ask at any given time. And they could sideload it onto a device that they had in their hands, and it would eliminate the encryption that is inherent into all iPhones.
Yes.
And the issue being, of course, that would then conceivably, probably, almost certainly make all of us less secure from the malicious and myriad world of bad actors out there who all want to get into our phones. That includes foreign governments. It includes criminal organizations. Includes, you know, like a whole bunch of people who really want access to our secure data.
Yes.
Apple was fighting for that side, saying that, you know, basically if we either have encryption or we don't have encryption. And if we have any kind of back doors out there, it's dangerous. Again, it will leave us all open to the bad guys. And the FBI ended up dropping its suit against Apple because they hired Cellebrite.
Yes.
To break into the device. Cellebrite was able to get into the device. There ended up being nothing on the device, which is completely moot to the arguments. You know, that doesn't bolster Apple's arguments. And if they had found something, that would not bolster the FBI's arguments. And cut to last week, where for the Lawfare blog, which is a highly respected blog aimed at the law enforcement world. Mm-hmm. Mr. Baker penned a piece where he basically said, Brian is right. He left out those words, but I'm sure they were in his heart. Where he basically said, look, I've rethought this on balance. Encryption is important. Encryption keeps us all safer, even though it makes our job harder. Right. And that is a thing. We have to accept that if we're going to keep the bad guys out of our devices, that sometimes the bad guys' devices will keep the good guys' law enforcement out, because that's how reality works. And he said that he was really mirroring what General Michael Hayden, who is a top former intelligence professional and who's worked for the NSA and the CIA and I think the National Security Council as well, headed that for a while. He was really basically saying that General Michael Hayden was right all along.
Okay.
And there
also Brian.
Yes. But also Brian. Yes. and anyway, this isn't going to change anything. I mean, this is one person who believed erroneously about the need for governments to have backdoors into encryption, has changed his position. He doesn't have any power today. He maybe has some influence. It's interesting that he has changed his position, but this isn't going to really change anything. And we have the current attorney general thinks that there's, you know, some sort of magical, I'm talking about William Barr. There's some kind of magical, you know, way of being able to have your cake and eat it too, which there isn't.
Right.
And I don't know what Christopher Wray belongs, which camp he belongs into, but he has said that the problem of going dark, which is where law enforcement can't get into bad guys' encrypted communications, is a real problem, and that there needs to be a solution. Again, there is no solution on a technical basis. Right. So there we have it.
It also relates to a conversation slightly. We won't go too far down this rabbit hole, but Kelly, do you remember we were discussing on the show that a senior British politician had written to Facebook, mm-hmm. and what things they were highlighting was some concerns over encryption, and they were not happy that encryption might be extended to a new merged messaging service in Facebook, and they were highlighting kind of some concerns that they right. thought it would make people less safe.
Yes, I do remember that.
Because there'd be more places where the law enforcement couldn't get to messaging and so on. So, you know, these arguments and these discussions are happening amongst lawmakers and law enforcement bodies all mm-hmm. around the globe.
Yeah, and the thing that has been interesting to me about this is watching these things evolve, and I think part of that evolution is coming from understanding, because it's yeah. very easy to look at this from the standpoint of, yeah, you know what? If things are encrypted, then when bad guys do stuff, we can't tell what it is. And that's terrible. But then, you know, you also have to have the flip side of that, which is like everybody else the rest of the time who's not bad guys is, you know, keeping their data also from bad guys. And, you know, that kind of puts everybody on the same side. And it's been interesting to watch some of these opinions evolve over time. So, Brian, I'm glad you dug into that. I've read a few things at Lawfare, and when I have reason to go over there and read stuff, it's always a good read, even if I don't always understand 100% of it, because I know it's not geared to me. But it's always a good resource for information. So, very interesting. Now, as we were getting ready to put the show together this morning, or at least this morning here, and get things recorded, all of our iPhones went off with a little press release notification from Apple that AirPods Pro are now officially a thing.
They are officially a thing.
They're here.
Yeah, I guess. Did you read the piece I was madly writing?
Yes.
While we were waiting to do the show.
Yes.
Where is my piece?
Yes, Brian has written a very, very detailed piece on it. There's quite a lot to dig into, actually. It's interesting that with the amount that there is to dig into, Apple just decided to throw out a press release, not do it as part of an event. Although, given that they've released some quite high-end computers via press release. Maybe we shouldn't be surprised that they're releasing headphones via press release.
Well, I'm surprised because we have we've had a non-zero number of October events for iPads. And so when we last discussed AirPods right here on TDO, one of the things we said was it's not looking good for there to be an October event. And something like this where you're adding noise canceling and basically releasing a new product instead of continuing, you know, instead of just an evolution of the old one, seems like it would warrant a little bit more than a press release.
Maybe.
I went so far as to say there's no way Apple would release AirPods Pro without a media event.
It's entirely possible that you did.
I was wrong.
Well, so was I, because I was like, well, maybe it's just going to be a November event this year, but this is when we're going to get the AirPods. It's not going to be a press release. I mean, why would you do that? Well, so now we know.
The thing that jumps out to me, and Brian's dug into these a bit more already, the thing that jumps out to me is the noise cancellation and the steel and that kind of thing. That's what the big kind of sell on these seems to be for me. And apart from looking stupid, the thing that's always put me off AirPods is the lack of noise cancellation.
Right.
And these do fix that.
Well, they fix half of that. Do you still think they look stupid?
They do still look stupid. They may look less stupid. Am I right that the dangly bit is smaller?
I do not think that you're right.
Okay, the picture, they look
less dangly. I
think
it starts higher on these. It might be the same length, but it comes out of the middle of the AirPod, like the center of the back instead of out of the bottom. So it might be the same length, but starts higher up on the device, so maybe it's less weird.
It's possible that it's shorter. I see why Charlotte is saying that. Until we actually have, it's hard to know though if that's perspective or
right
or reality.
Exactly. So anyway, I'm deeply cynical about AirPods. I appreciate that everyone I know who has ever used them is totally in love with them. Won't
yeah,
go
so
anywhere.
Your suspicion is completely understandable. He said lyingly.
No, my suspicion is only is cosmetic. Everyone I know who has ever used the AirPods of the various original AirPods totally loves them. Won't go leave the house without them.
Yeah.
These AirPods Pros, like we say, have got noise cancelling technology, which I think is a really big step forward. It's particularly relevant to someone like me living in London, a big capital city with a subway, a tube network, which is really freaking noisy. And you can't hear if you're listening to TDO on the tube. And you can't hear it very well because it's really noisy, but you need some noise cancelling headphones. Mm-hmm. So now these AirPods are going to make it even easier to listen to us while you're doing your daily commute. Yay!
And I would also point out they do look different. You know, that was one thing that we talked about a little
look a little bit slicker.
When we last discussed them, they sort of, for people who haven't seen them yet, if you took the original AirPods and tilted the ear pod piece, the front edge, you know, where the little speaker grill is kind of on the front edge of those. If you tilted that down about 45 degrees and then put a little silicone headphone tip on the end of it, that's kind of what they look like. And the interesting thing to me was how they manage the noise cancellation feature, which is they say that there's a test. So there's a bunch of microphones inside the devices, of course, and they
two
use
microphones.
Oh, is it? What am I thinking of that was 200? Oh, the sampling.
Sampling 200 times a second.
Yeah, they sample.
You want me to go over the little technical things here?
Yeah, because I want to talk about how the noise cancellation is managed. So, Brian, break down for us what we're actually getting in these new
$250. Very specific
devices.
Question I want to ask.
Ask it.
No, Brian, do noise cancelling, and then I have a specific question related to this that I want to ask.
Okay, so there's two microphones. One is sampling the outside of the world, and is creating your basic noise cancellation anti-sound waves. And then there's a second microphone that's actually listening inside your ear that's cleaning up any sort of leftover mess. And in addition to that, Apple is when you first put them on, it comes with three different sizes of tips. and Apple is performing some kind of test using software and sound that is making sure that you have the right tip for your ear canal.
Mm-hmm.
And which is actually pretty cool. I think it is test sampling for the noise cancellation. It's 200 times per second. Each ear is handled separately. And there is what Apple calls a transparency mode, which allows some environmental noise, ambient noise to come through so that you can, say, walk through a city without getting run over or, you know, mugged because you don't hear the person running up from you from behind.
You can hear enough of the train to know when it's coming, or the tube if you're in London, like Charlotte.
Right. You can choose that mode whenever you want. You can choose to go full active noise canceling mode. There's going to be some noise cancellation or noise blocking, noise isolation from the passive effects of simply having the seal inside your ear.
Yes.
With these devices.
Yeah. And transparency mode was the thing I wanted to point out. So, Charlotte, what was your question?
So my question relates to this. Brian's story points out that the AirPods Pro will have the same battery life as regular AirPods, up to 5 hours of listening time without active noise cancellation.
Mm-hmm.
With the active noise cancellation that Brian has explained to us on, the AirPods Pro will have 4.5 hours of listening time and 3.5 hours of talk time on a single charge. Is that not slightly disappointing that they couldn't up the battery time a little bit? I appreciate they've advanced the technology, and the active noise cancellation technology does use up juice.
Pick your poison. Do you want long dangly AirPods, or do you want battery life?
It's a fair point.
Really what it is. And those 5 hours, 4.5 hours, and 3.5 hours that Apple is tossing out,
mm-hmm.
true and new, within a couple of months, it will not be that long. And mm-hmm. within a year, it will be half as long. That's if my experience with AirPods is any indication.
But also the thing that I would point out on this is that in other wireless headphones that will do noise canceling that you have to charge, if you are using them in that wireless mode, usually the gap between using the headphones and using the noise cancellation in the headphones is much bigger than half an hour.
Yeah, I'm really surprised by that. I'm going to be really interested to test it, too, because you're listening with two microphones. That takes power. You're sampling 200 times per second. Now, I actually don't know how that compares to other companies that are doing noise cancellation. Seems high to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that means it takes power. So I'm really surprised there's only a half an hour difference. The H1 chip that's in this thing has 10 different audio cores for doing mm-hmm. a lot of this processing. And so Apple is claiming that that helps make it more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever that's worth.
Interesting.
But in general, if you're looking for noise cancellation, I mean, we've talked about a few. Dave has talked about a few that are nowhere near $250. And we've mentioned those on other episodes of TDO. But the thing, the thing that stood out in this was, yes, they look different. And as a result of the different form factor of the headphones, the charging case for them looks to be about 1.5 current AirPod cases wide. I would say it might be a little shallower. I couldn't really tell compared to a non noise canceling AirPods case by looking at it, but it was wider. There's a video that Apple has released that shows them going into the case and charging, and that case looks to be a little bit wider. But other than that, the gap in battery life to me was pretty interesting, because most of the time it's, 3 hours with noise canceling and 6 hours without, or, something like that, where there's a very dramatic difference between the mileage that you get if you have noise cancellation on versus off. And I liked that transparency mode sounded like an interesting idea.
I think I'm certainly more interested in these, despite the price point, which I think it's quite a high price point. I can understand why, and they should be more
mm-hmm.
than the standard. I don't know. I mean, I think the name Pro is a bit silly. I don't know how a device like this could be a Pro device. I have to say, these are not studio headphones. Like, I can understand how a Mac Pro is a pro device. I can understand how a iPhone Pro with that camera capability is a pro device, and so on and so forth. But I don't really understand how these are a pro device. They're just a better set of AirPods. Anyway,
Apple, I'd call him Dave sometimes. Dave was saying when we were talking about this, when the rumor first came up, that the pro moniker only makes sense from the standpoint of audio quality. And it remains to be seen if the audio quality is there, to Charlotte's point.
Yeah, we don't know what it is right now.
Yeah. No, we don't know what it is. I would hope it's better. You said in the article the bass goes down to 20 hertz. Not bad.
Mm-hmm. Most people can't hear that.
No, you can't hear that. No, but it kind of at least indicates that there's going to be a warm, rounded, in-depth bass sound. Anyway, we don't know what the audio quality is going to be like in general. I think the general point is I think the Pro moniker is a little bit silly, actually. A Beats Pro headphone range that you could use in the studio as a professional makes sense.
Yes.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Why not?
That's actually where I would, because Beats is in a studio, you want neutral sound. You don't want.
Sure. But that makes more sense to. Your objection is right, but it makes slightly more sense to me than AirPods, which are never going to be a studio item. They're never going to be a professional item.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, this is probably much more about marketing. Like Apple decided that.
Well, yeah,
that,
right now things are.
From now on, we're going to call our high end of the line Pro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And anyway,
yeah, we went through an I phase, remember? So this is the same sort of thing. We have Pro and not. So, yeah.
But like the iPad Pro, a professional, say an architect, a designer, could use that device in their professional life. That makes sense to me.
Yes.
This seems a bit silly. Anyway, I'm definitely interested in this as a higher end headphone. Hopefully the sound quality is a bit better. I'm definitely interested in it now that they've introduced noise cancellation. But I think the price point is going to make a lot of people go, do I really need this?
Yeah. This might, and, I don't know what Christmas budgets look like for most people during, I don't know what gift giving season looks like for most people anymore, but it's entirely possible that maybe this is a valid option for gift giving. If you want to upgrade somebody's Lightning headphones, or, somebody that is still rocking that headphone jack dongle so they can use their even older headphones, and like maybe this is a nice way to upgrade them. It doesn't at this point look like, I did look really quick before the show, and it doesn't look like the non-pro mere mortal AirPods have gotten any less expensive. No. So, yeah, it's still...
$249 is a lot to drop at the gym. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
I'm serious.
But speaking of dropping at the gym, the next thing I would be curious about is what the Find My capabilities are of this. Because right now, how does that work? Right now, if you put the AirPods in the case and close the case, or like if you can't find the AirPods individually on Find My AirPod, like on the Find My app, it used to be Find My Phone. I would be curious if any of the tracking technology and the Find My stuff has improved any with that.
I'd be surprised if that changed. I think Apple would probably mention it, but we can only see it. Maybe it may well have been deemed not worthy of mention. We should also mention, by the way, Kelly, that Apple is claiming to have a quote unquote innovative system for venting pressure, so that the in-ear, that's one of the complaints about in-ear earphones a lot, is that they become uncomfortable. Uh-huh. So between testing for the right fit, to make sure you have the right size of the three silicone tips in your ear, and this venting system, if it actually does anything, this could make these much more comfortable than in-ear devices that you've tried in the past. Maybe. We'll have to see.
I have tried some, and I have had every experience from they're okay to we hates them precious. and I've tried like all kinds in between with lots of in-ear stuff because I don't generally have an issue with them falling out, but I do have an issue with them being comfortable a lot of the time. And that is part of actually what I like about my AirPods, my mere mortal non-pro AirPods, is that they fit in my ears and they mostly don't fall out. So I'm actually pretty excited about it. So there may be somebody at TMO who is in the market for these or can somehow get their hands on them or get their hands on somebody who did get a pair and maybe get to try them out a little bit. We'll see. And as we find that out, we will let you know here. If you are in the market for a new pair of AirPods and AirPods Pro, AirPod Pros are what you are looking for and you are excited about them, please let us know. You can email us at observations@macobserver.com. You can talk to us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. I'm interested to find out what you think, and as we find out more, you will find it out as well. I want to thank everyone for being here today. Charlotte, thank you so very much for coming by.
Thanks for having me. I'm off to put some over-the-head headphones on.
I will probably be doing the same shortly. Also with me, Brian Chaffin. Thank you, Brian, for being here.
October 31st, that's when mine will be here.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you bought some?
I took the 7 seconds it took to order in the Apple Store app while I was writing the piece. So y'all waited an extra 7 seconds for me.
All right. I'm excited to hear what you think of them. And
thanks for having us.
that'll be fun. And so now I know we will definitely hear more about AirPod Pros. AirPods Pro.
Yeah, how do we say it? Brian, how do we say it?
AirPods Pro.
AirPods Pro. See, that's also silly.
Like attorneys general, I guess. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, thank you both for being here. And as I said, apparently we will have somebody with direct access to a pair, and we will let you know more about those. I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.